to open your Bibles and go there to the 26th chapter is where we'll be reading from this evening. 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and go with us, if you would, down toward the middle of this chapter. It's a long chapter. Verse 17 is where we'll start our reading at this evening. Verse 17 of this 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready for the Passover. And stop reading there in verse 19 this evening. And the scripture is clear that Jesus knew that his time was at hand. It also was the time of the Passover. The Passover was at hand. In just a few days, they would be celebrating the Passover. Going back, as the scripture teaches us, all the way back to the book of Exodus, in the 12th chapter, to where, I just lost my voice for a moment there. But we remember that in Egypt, when the Lord told them that there was going to come a time, a night, in such that Pharaoh's heart had been hardened through the other plagues. And the Lord said in this plague that you should take a lamb without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th of the same day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And thou shalt take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it. He was telling them that it was the Lord's Passover. And it was symbolic that when he passed by, when he, the destroyer, as it says in verse 23, would pass through the land, wherever he saw the blood on the two side posts and the lintel, that the destroyer would pass by that house. And it was called the Passover. But in the 14th verse, the Lord said, it's a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And today, we still celebrate the time of the Passover. But the time of the Passover, which is Hebrew for Pesach, it was meaning that it would pass over, or to leap or skip over. It would spare, it would show mercy. Wherever the blood was, mercy was shown. And that is still true today. Wherever the blood is, mercy is shown. And thank God for mercy and his wonderful grace. But they would take what was known as the Paschal Lamb. And they would take this lamb, because there was a seven-day feast from the 14th to the 21st of Nisan, which is in March to April. And that depends on the lunar. And it varies. And the dates of the celebration varies. But they were to keep the Passover year after year after year. And they would have what was known as the Paschal meal on the evening of the 14th. To where this lamb that had been prepared and had been roasted with fire would be brought into a house. Its blood was on the two side posts and upon the lintel. And Scripture says, if a house was too small for a lamb, bring your neighbors in. There's a message there. We need to get everybody in the house that is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And this lamb had to be a male of the first year without blemish. And they were to keep it up on the, put it up on the 10th of the month, and then it would be sacrificed on the at the time, of the Passover. It would be slain on the 14th between the two evenings, between sunset and darkness. And they would take that lamb, the blood from that lamb, and dip hyssop into the blood, and they would paint it on the, for lack of a better term, they would put it or paint it on the two side posts and the lintel. And when the destroyer went through the land, he would see the blood, and that house would be spared from death. Death went throughout all of Egypt, from the poorest of houses all the way up to Pharaoh's house. And the whole animal was to be eaten without breaking a bone. Families, slaves, and even strangers that were circumcised were to take part of this great event. And they had to do it with their loins girded, their shoes on, and their staff in their hand. They were ready to march into Zion, if I can put that in there this evening. And if there was a part that was not eaten, it was to be burned. But nothing is to be carried out of the house. All of this may sound like it's God had put it all together, and it sounds like a process, and they had to follow it. If they left out one step, they was putting their whole families in jeopardy. If I can go back to Exodus real quickly, because there was a key verse that struck my heart that I want to read to you this evening to go with Caitlin's praise this evening. In verse 26, it says, "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That you shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshiped." We know today that Jesus told his apostles that was there to go and get things ready. And you notice that he did not say whose house it was. "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." He sent them to prepare, to get everything ready for this Passover, because this would be his last Passover. Some of our Bible says it's his Last Supper. No, it's not the Last Supper, because even Jesus, when he was here, he ate after he was resurrected. And he told them there that I shall eat it again with you in my kingdom. I'm looking forward to that supper, to where there'll be no sin. We will sing and shout, praising him, because he not only was the Passover lamb, he is still the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The blood of the lambs and the goats, the heifers, the bulls that was offered up, could not save one person. But the blood of Jesus Christ was taken into the holiest of holies and put upon a bowl, if I can use that as a term, and taken into the holiest of holy, and God received his blood as an atonement for all of our sins, for all of mankind, from the beginning of Adam to the last one is born into this world. All the other ones, they had to do it every year, Brother Jack. Passover every year. You know why we don't keep Passover like they did there? No need for a lamb to die. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to get doctrinal on you for a minute. Passover is done away with, but the Lord's Supper was instituted. Yes, I got an amen. Passover is done away because no need for a lamb to be slain anymore. Because his lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. All Exodus was pointing toward Jesus to come in the future. It set all the shadows, precepts, and types of the Old Testament. All they're doing is pointing to the future, when Jesus would come and make a way for you and for I today. And when we see that he told them, I'm going to keep the Passover with you, but if your Bible is like mine, and if you got a King James Version, it ought to be. It gives us headers in all of the Gospels that says, the last Passover, the Lord's Supper instituted. The Lord's Supper, as they was there, they did go into the city, and they did get Peter and John. If you go over to the book of Luke in the 22nd chapter, Peter and John went into the city, and they met with a man, they got the room ready, and they got the animal, they took the animal, they had the animal slaughtered, and they had it prepared for the Passover to be kept in that room. But we go from the Passover to the Lord's Supper. In that we see that when they went there for the Passover, that they went in and they not only had the lamb, they had the wine, they had the bread, and they also had the bitter herbs to remind them of the pain they went through in Egypt. Today, every one of us has bitter herbs that we can remember what God has brought us through. Amen. And we rejoice in it. But if you notice, that was the Passover. The Lord's Supper says nothing about bitter herbs, because God takes our past and he wipes it clean. He does away with it to where there is no past. When the Lord looks at you and I, there's no past to remember. We're saved by his grace. And he's made us part of his great family, to where we're not keeping the Passover, but we are keeping the Lord's Supper. A time that it breaks our hearts to know that Jesus knew what was going to happen in just a few hours. Just a few hours. The ones I preached about this morning that were saying, Hosanna. Just a few hours later, they was crying, Crucify. Maybe not the same crowd, but a crowd was crying, Crucify. Jesus knew his time was there, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. And it is called the Lord's Supper, the communion of the blood of Christ and the communion of the body of Christ. And I'm getting ahead of myself for the rest of the service, but that's all right. His body was broken.
so that ours could be healed. His blood was the atonement for sin that he did not commit, but for sins that we committed, that there was no atonement that we could offer. Rob sang that song this morning. I could not watch my only son die for a bunch of folks that would mock him and scorn him. Even if they loved him, I could not watch my son, either one, die for a world of sinners. And he says that when they met together, they had the fruit of the vine, which is grape juice, and the unleavened bread. Following the Passover was a 7-day feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days, they had unleavened bread. And if any household was found to have leavened bread in it, they was an outcast. Leavened bread represents sin. Sin. And I'll pause there and look at you because you know this. You know this. But the Lord wanted to have this time with his inner circle, if you'll have that, with the 12. And even at the time that he was telling them about his death and all the things that was going to happen to him, how hard it would be to know that there was one that even sat at the table with him that was going to betray him. And the Lord gave him opportunity not to betray him. Even at the hour of the arrest. Because you remember, he said, do what you do quickly. I believe the Lord was offering him every opportunity to repent and be saved. But he rejected it even at that hour. So we go from Passover. Have you ever wondered why we don't celebrate Passover? Because some still do. But Passover is behind us. And the Lord's Supper is before us. Tonight we have a beautiful picture setting before us. These white sheets represent purity, holiness, godliness. That has something covered that is so special to everyone that has been born again. That in a few minutes we shall be like the apostles in that upper room, in that room, that when Christ took that piece of bread and offered it to them, giving them a picture of what was about to happen, this is my body which was broken. Isaiah told us about that, did he not? You remember a message 2 weeks ago? We are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. His blood was not shed in vain. Let me back up. He was the perfect lamb because not a bone in his body had been broken. You remember, even Satan said, God's given angels charge over you, lest you should dash, you'll heal. Break a bone. If he had a bone that was broken, he could not be the sacrifice. But I declare to you, he was perfect. From birth even to death, he was perfect. And yet, he even left this world without a broken bone. Because when they came at that hour to break the bones of those that had been crucified, as was customary to expedite the dying process, they came to where Jesus was. And he'd already yielded the ghost. People say, all of this is just by accident. I say, no, it's by divine order. Because what God, through the prophets, prophesied, Jesus fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. Even when he was there, and God put this on my heart, and I did not study this part, but let me give this to you. Even when he was there and on the cross, he cried, Telestai, in the Greek, which means it is finished. If you go back to Psalms in the 21st chapter, 22nd chapter, you will find that it was prophesied that he would say, Telestai, it is finished. Some would say Jesus had to remember all these words so that he could go back and recite them exactly as it had been prophesied. No. No. David wrote it. David wrote it as God gave it to him, because God saw the future of what would happen on the cross and what would be said. He didn't have to remember anything. And he was God anyway. Amen. So we go from Passover to the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper was special because now we're no longer focused on the lamb and the bitter herbs, but we're focused on the one who takes away the sins of the world. That lamb that was offered through the years in those bullocks and heifers and goats. I want to put this in also. Jesus also made it. You could do turtle doves. And if you was too poor, you could find two pigeons. God's heart has always been to the poor. To the poor. But if we go from Passover to the Lord's Supper being instituted, the start of it, Jesus said in the book of Luke in the 15th verse, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not eat more, any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord knew his time was at hand. And he wanted to prepare them and us for the taking of the Lord's Supper. This is a sacrament. It is special. In fact, the scripture says it's so special that every one of us ought to examine ourselves to make sure we are worthy to partake of this special, special supper. Because he said that there are some that have taken it unworthily that are sick, and even some that are dead. You say, Roger, that sounds pretty serious. God's word is serious. This is not something to be taken lightly. But every one of us ought to examine ourselves and first of all, make sure that we know we are saved by the grace of God. You cannot celebrate the Lord's Supper unless you know that you have been saved by his marvelous grace. You cannot partake of the Lord's Supper without remembering the price that he paid, that his body was broken. And the Henson sang a song in the 70s, early 80s that said that I could still go free. Jesus suffered it all so that we could go free today. But he said that the Lord's Supper is the communion of the blood of Christ and the communion of the body of Christ over in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. The elements, the things that were used was the fruit of the vine and the unleavened bread. The bread was broken, symbolizing it, the marred and striped body of Christ for our healing. I said that from Isaiah earlier. The grape juice symbolized the blood of Christ shed for the remission of sins. And everyone that has been born again ought to partake of the Lord's Supper. Some say, I'm not worthy. Well, Actually, none of us are. Can I get an amen? None of us are. But if Jesus said, my blood is sufficient for you, it makes us worthy to partake of this. And throughout the whole evening while they was there, there was thanksgiving and blessings that was offered up for the bread, for the wine. And it was a remembrance of the death of Christ until he comes again. Ron and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago. You know, because of COVID, we did not have communion. And I've missed communion because I believe it will draw us nearer to God if we'll allow it to penetrate our hearts and our soul and get down to where we live at and realize what a price that he paid for us. And he teaches us today that this ordinance of the church, that it should bring unity and love to our church, to fellow believers, and I believe in open communion. By open communion, that means anybody that has been born again can partake of it. They do not have to be a member of the Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church. Some churches believe in closed communion, to where it's only their church. And I understand why some do that. But folks, every one of us has to give an account individually. Did you know I'm not accountable for you? But yet, I am accountable for you in some other ways as well. And as we take this, it should be practiced and taken in faith. And after we have carefully examined ourselves to make sure we are right with God. We are right with God. So the Passover has been replaced by the Lord's Supper. The precious Lamb of God that laid down his life for your sins and for mine. Today we're, again I say, this is to be taken very seriously. This may just be a piece of unleavened bread. It may just be some grape juice from a bottle. But symbolically, it is more than just that. It is more than just that. It is us taking that piece of bread, representing the body of Christ, as he gave it to the apostles there in that room and said, take, eat this piece of bread, which is my body, which is broken for you. And take and drink of this wine, which represents my blood, which was shed for your sins. It's more than just a piece of bread and a little bit of juice. In fact, to be candid about it, there's no way that any of us would want just this for a meal. It's not very tasty, but neither was his death. It's not something that you would really relish to have, but it's not meant to be. It's meant to be symbolic. And by being symbolic, as we hold that piece of bread in our fingers, I want every one of us to think, he suffered it all just for you and just for me. And when we take and drink of that wine, that it was his precious blood that was an atonement for your sins and for my sins today. And his sin blotted out. The writer said it like this, Brother Ray. His blood blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us. Blotted them out. Now, I'm not old enough to remember this, but some of you may be. In the old schools, they had a blotter. If you made a mistake, they would take a blotter and stamp it over the mistake, and you could never tell what was underneath there what the mistake was about or what you was trying to cover up. You know what Jesus did with his blood? He blotted out every one of our sins. And I say hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thankful that it was his blood. They used to sing a song that said, he shed one drop of blood just for me. I say, no. No. He shed all of it just for you and just for me today. And for that, I am thankful that we had a Savior. We have a Savior that loves us enough to give his life for our sins today. As the deacons come forward, and they uncover, I want you to look, what a beautiful sight. I've seen a lot of beauty in my days, but this one is one of my favorite. And watch them folded. You know, when they came to Jesus' tomb, you know what they found inside? His grave clothes. And they were folded and laid there. In Jewish tradition, that meant he's coming back. He's coming back. And then they have the bread. And they have the wine. As Jesus was there, and even as I turn in my Bible over to 1 Corinthians, Paul was talking about it, the Lord's Supper. And he received it by revelation. He says, from verse 23 of the 11th chapter, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." And before he did anything, can you see him sitting there? Probably every one of us has seen a picture of the Last Supper, as they call it. Can you see him there with the 12? As he had that bread in his hand, unleavened bread. But before he did anything with it, the scripture says he gave thanks. Deacons, if you would, give thanks over this bread. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And now the deacons will pass this out. I ask you to hold it until the very moment that we all can partake of this at the same time.
bless them tonight. And after he broke the bread and told him, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." You find, whether you read it from here in Luke or you go over the 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, you find the wording is identical. Paul said it was given by revelation to me. And as Ron and Terry were passing out the bread, which we're about to partake of, I know this is the first time for Matt. Maddie, first time. Anybody else, first time. That's special, ain't it? You'll have a lot of first in your life, but this is something that will stay with you. It's my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And they took that bread. I often will break mine. You don't have to. But his body that was broken into pieces for my sins. And it reminds me how much he loved a sinner like me. To endure the pain and agony of the beatings, the scourgings, the denials, just so I could go free. Let's take this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior. And likewise, they took the cup after the supper. Brother Ron, Brother Terry, if you'll pass out the cup that we're about to partake of, representing his blood shed on Calvary's cross. Yes, I thank you, Ron. Yes. Yes, God, we thank you. Yes. Amen. Bless you, Ron. And I'm reading a lot from Luke. I could have gone to some of the other three Gospels record the event. Luke is a little bit more descriptive of the events of that day. But Luke said in the 20th verse, and likewise also the cup of the supper, saying, and Jesus speaking, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." The New Testament. The Old Testament is behind us. This is that New Testament. And Paul said it like this as well. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we take the fruit of the vine, representing the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed as an atonement for our sins, and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you was willing to drink the bitter cup so that I could stand here today rejoicing and honoring you for the price you paid on Calvary's cross for my sins, not your sins." I say that for my sins. And we individually have to say, "For my sins, my sins." And let's drink it in remembrance of him. And then Jesus said, "Behold, the hand of the man that betrayeth me is with me on this table." And he knew who it was that was going to betray him. Some of them asked, "Lord, is it I?" But the one that was going to betray him knew it was he, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, that he's lost none save the son of perdition. But this supper, even though it was a great event for the apostles as they was gathered there in the upper room to go from the Passover to the Lord's Supper, he knew that the betrayal was next. And then the Gethsemane experience, the prayer there that he prayed until his blood became as great drops of blood. And he prayed that prayer, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Aren't you thankful he was willing to drink that bitter cup so that we could go free? And then he would be arrested. And the trials that he had to endure. And then finally, the crucifixion itself. Nowhere to lay his head but in a borrowed tomb. But thank God, he didn't need it for long. Amen. And next Sunday, we will celebrate. I said, we will celebrate. Not his death, his resurrection. He's not dead. He's not dead. And this was the end of the supper. Give me a moment here. It was the end of the supper. And in verse 30 of Matthew, the 26th chapter, says when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And we shall do that shortly, but before the service was over, the scripture tells us that Jesus rised up from the table and he girded himself with a towel and he got down as Master and Lord and he washed the apostles' feet. And even Peter, being as bold as he was, said, "You will not wash my feet, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "If I wash thee not, you have no part in the kingdom." And Peter changed his mind real quick. And he said, "Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head." Amen. Now, there's a lot to that, and let me briefly say this, and I'll close. If you go back to the Old Testament, the way that a priest was ordained, and even our Lord, what they would do is they would put blood on their feet, on their hands, and on their ears. People say, "I don't remember Jesus doing that." Let me tell you a message I preached many years ago about that. His hands and his feet had nails in them. And forthwith came that blood, no doubt, right? The brow had the crown of thorns. Can I use my imagination? And that blood flowed. I believe he was 100% man, but he also was 100% God. Amen. Amen. And I thank him for not destroying the law, but fulfilling it, dot and tittle. Amen. This will conclude this part of the service for us. And there are some that will participate in the latter part of the service of the washing of feet. It has no power other than to bring us into a servitude for our brothers and for the sisters on this side. If Christ was willing to lay aside his role, his name, his position, and say, "I am a servant unto you," then he says, "You also ought to lay aside your role, your name, your position, and do it one for another." So again, this will conclude this part. We invite those that would like to participate in the foot washing part for the men to gather on this side, the women to gather on this side. And tonight, those that will be leaving or staying around, I say, God bless you. We love you tonight. And we will be looking forward to Wednesday evening, to when we can get back together in the house of the Lord. Would y'all remember tomorrow, Brother Ron, in our prayers? How many of you are old like me and you can remember his mama calling him Ronnie? Ronnie. I thought about that this week. And on Tuesday with Brother Ott, that'll be going into the hospital for a procedure. And for Brother Clarence, that is in the hospital and will be, no doubt, facing a procedure in the near future. So God bless each and every one of you. Maddie and Matt, I'm proud of you this evening. Your first Lord's Supper. And every year they get better. They get better.